This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. A moment ago, we were talking about texting and romantic relationships. Well, our next story is all about love that goes much deeper than texting. This is the way Paula Young Lee begins her memoir. This is a love story for grown-ups. There is sex, death, and snoring. A happy ending is not guaranteed. It is a story about hunting. The real kind that starts with hunting and ends with guts being spilled.
With a beginning like that, who could resist the urge to read on? Paula Young Lee is a fellow at the Center for Animals and Public Policy at Tufts University. Her book is called Deer Hunting in Paris, a memoir of God, guns, and game meat, which tells the story of how she met her polar opposite, who taught her to shoot and hunt.
Paula Young Lee is a liberal, the daughter of a Korean-American preacher who never hunted. Her boyfriend, John, a conservative, a pure Maine Yankee with a generations-long passion for hunting, from Paris, Maine. But Lee's memoir begins in Paris, France, where she was trolling an online dating service and found John.
I have never experienced anything quite like it. I got this fascinating sort of zip up the back of my neck. Turned out that he had been on that website for 15 whole minutes. That was it. And he said he'd gotten queries from three women, and he got mine, and boop, same thing. And as we conversed, though, it became clear that we were, in fact, both from Maine, and that's pretty much all we had in common. At the time, I didn't know he hunted. He didn't mention this. He sort of knew better. And it was only after we actually met here in Boston that things started to get really interesting between us.
Well, I want to ask you about hunting because he's passionate about hunting. You don't seem like a natural hunter. In fact,
now.
Well, I'm just going to read you your own words. A gun does not seem natural in my hands. I'm too Korean auntie to pout sexily and stay upright while shooting a machine gun in stilettos like the Asian actress playing French super spy Nikita on TV.
Which is true.
It's well expressed. So how do you feel about hunting now?
I had a lot of preconceptions about it. I have to say that I was initially very dismayed by John's interest in firearms and his love of hunting, which, however, I will say this. Part of the reason why we had this attraction, I believe, is because I was, in fact, researching the history of hunting in 17th century France and had been perplexed repeatedly by descriptions which did not seem to correspond to any sense that I had of how one addressed the hunted animal. And then here I met John, who was, in fact, a hunter. And in order to really learn how to hunt, you actually have to do it as a kind of apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. It is really a long, studied work. It is not as simple as it is portrayed in Hollywood movies. It isn't just like picking up a gun and going out and shooting Bambi and then you're done. It really does not work at all like that.
And what are we, it's interesting to hear you talk about this way because I came from a family that hunted. My grandfather was passionate about it. We sort of lost the thread in the family. My father lost interest, didn't really pass it on to me. But do you think, especially we're having this conversation in sort of liberal Boston, I'm guessing that a lot of people who are listening to this probably don't hunt and don't come from a tradition of hunting. What's the major sort of misunderstanding about it?
I think it tends to be reduced to a very simplistic meme, which is that hunting is killing and that killing is cruel and that we shouldn't be doing that to animals. The other one I hear very frequently is that humans have a choice and we're omnivores and we have a choice not to eat meat. Mm-hmm. And those are the most common kinds of expressions of criticism that one is likely to hear. And I was a vegetarian for probably close to 17, 18 years. I was vegan for two of those. So I would have to say that for a long time, I had many of those beliefs as well. Mm-hmm. As I get older and, however, as I travel the world, and I think that was crucial, it began to become clear to me that to engage fully with any other culture, regardless of whether it's going to a place like Fiji, for example, someplace we might code as being exotic, in other words, fully participate in those means you have to accept and acknowledge the validity of those traditions, which in virtually every case happens to include hunting.
Interesting. Along with getting comfortable with hunting, you also talk about butchering. I want to read just another quote. Blinking, I see the deer that used to be a creature tilting gorgeously through the mud and green. Then I refocus and see rump roasts and steaks. You write this with a lot of humor, but it's also serious. And I hear somebody trying to get comfortable with this idea.
it's very difficult to get comfortable with if you are just watching. Mm. And I think part of what I'm trying to dispel here is the incredible pervasiveness of spectator culture right now in our society. It is all vectored through television, through YouTube, through cameras, which imposes a screen, literally and figuratively, between our view and our perception and our ability to understand. And I think that's really a problem right now. Mm. What I tend to encourage everybody to do is get your own hands dirty. Literally touch things, which, again, we're not encouraged to do in this society.
In this case, literally touch the meat that we eat.
Literally touch the meat that you eat. And I will confess that it is hard. I don't think you will ask any ethical hunter about the actual practice of hunting and find a jovial, ha-ha, you know, sort of chest-thumping response. Every hunter I have met has, in their own way, been extremely thoughtful and very conscious of the reality and the responsibilities that come with taking an animal life. Mm-hmm. And the act of consuming the animal after you have taken its life is crucial to the entire process. It becomes an act of sharing in the most profound sense. And it knits the people who hunt back to the land in a way that is reciprocal. And it is ongoing, it is enduring, and it is ultimately exceptionally healthy to be doing this because it really celebrates the visceral aspects of our existence and doesn't try to censor them.
I would say as well that it's arguably more humane than the way most people eat meat. I mean, when you read about the factory feedlots and the way cows are raised out there, it's awful when you think about taking one animal with a clean shot, butchering it and consuming it with respect. That seems a lot more humane to me.
It's what is known as a good death, which follows a good life.
You know, you raise so many interesting questions about this. You've also published a really interesting history of game with this memoir. It's called Game, A Global History. How is it that we accept the idea of eating some animals but not others?
It's purely arbitrary.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I find it so fascinating is because it's so arbitrary. And as you travel, if you travel around the world and you start encountering different cultures, you realize, oh, yes, I have so many strange little rules in my head about what is good and what is not good, what I will eat, what I won't eat. There's an enormous connection between the imagination and the taste buds. And I find that to be really fascinating and endlessly, you know, amusing, entertaining.
Let me ask you one more question about all this. How did farming change the meat we eat and our attitude toward that?
I think it made it a lot easier for people to not think about it at all, which is the problem. I think that if you grew up with animals, you are always aware of a sacrifice at all times. Whether you choose to sentimentalize it or simply become immune to it is really up to the individual. But you're always aware that there's a participatory relationship that connects your lives to theirs. And I think that sharing is what we miss, what people long for and that they are trying to recapture on some level. What I tend to caution people against is seeing everything through a kind of the mist of nostalgia and myth-making, because it really deprives animals of their agency, as well as it tends to evacuate that sacrifice of its meaning.
Let me come back to your memoir, Deer Hunting in Paris, a memoir of God, Guns, and Game Meat, and ask you, do you and John still hunt together?
Yes. I will say that as I mentioned earlier, it is a long apprenticeship, and I am a terrible shot. It takes a very long time to be able to reliably and consistently hit a target at 50 plus yards, 100 yards, 200 yards, even with all the gadgets and the gizmos, that you have to be able to do so consistently before I think you should be able to go hunting. Because nobody wants to take a shot and miss, and even less does anybody want to take a shot and wound the animal and inflict pain. And that ability to take the shot, to actually hit it in the heart, it drops in its tracks without ever knowing it's been hit. That's the ideal hunt.
So these are things that he's taught you, thanks to his background. I'm curious, in this process of you guys coming together around hunting, what you've taught him about this.
My role in all of this is to contextualize it, because I have this historical knowledge, because I have this information regarding its symbolism and the sheer variety of the traditions that inform hunting. But I also temper it with the liberal view, which is that it is not taken for granted. It is a privilege. It is something that can be seen from the outsider perspective as something extremely violent and irrational even. So what I'm constantly reminding him of is it's important to respect other people's sensibilities in as much as you also respect the animal's sensibilities. It is simply a question of perspective. But I would invite people who believe to be the anti-hunting to actually talk to some hunters and maybe go on a hunt and find out what it actually involves, which is in reality an exercise in failure. Over and over and over again, you go out, hunt, and you will not see, you will not find. It is that patience, that acceptance of failure, that awareness that nature is not there to cooperate with you, that ultimately I think every hunter who hunts seriously understands implicitly because they do this year after year after year. And in the end, that sense of pride is one that doesn't come just from that single kill, but comes from knowing that it's an accumulation of a lifetime, actually, of commitment.
That's Paula Young Lee. She is a fellow at the Center for Animals and Public Policy at Tufts. She's the author of Game, A Global History, and her memoir, Deer Hunting in Paris, A Memoir of God, Guns, and Game Meat. Paula Young Lee, thank you very much.
Thank you.